Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
And we are back. Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights, coming to you from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo. Stone Payton here hosting. And in this segment, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Manager Retail Training for National Vision. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Tina Thomas. How you doing?
I'm good, Stone. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. National Vision. Would it be inappropriate to ask about the vision of National Vision? What are
Absolutely
you guys out there trying
not.
To do for folks?
We're trying to make people see. We're trying to make people to see well, and we're trying to make people see at a good price.
And so products and services are products, eyewear?
Products, eyewear, contact lenses, eye exams. We do it all. We actually have five brands, America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Eyeglass World. We're in some of the Walmart locations, Fred Meyer up in the Northwest, and on some military bases.
So I would think that they're, aside from having good, solid product service, there must also be an education component for the consumer. I know we'll be talking about training and all for internal, but there must be a pretty large educational component for the consumer, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, as much as we do sell eyewear, we really try to train our people. It's not about selling the glasses. It's about educating that customer on what they need. Because a lot of times they've just been brushed over. They wear glasses, they've always worn glasses, and they assume that they always need to just get whatever they got before. But they don't know why. So that's where we take that stance on making sure they understand why and making them comfortable with making an informed decision on their purchase.
Okay, so coming back to the internal, I understand that you have some role in training and development internally. Is that
absolutely
is that accurate? Okay,
yes.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that role.
Well, all of our training is actually internal.
Okay.
We develop and deploy all of our training with our staff of learning specialists, and each one of them has worked in the field. A lot of that training is...
So they have street cred.
They do have the street cred.
Well, no, I mean, that is something that is not always the case, right?
Absolutely.
In a lot of companies.
Absolutely. Several of them are licensed opticians in their states. We have some that have multiple state licensing. ABO and CLE certification, which are national certifications for opticians, and in addition to the passion to train.
So they want to be doing it. Mm-hmm. They have the background. They have the credibility.
Correct.
With the folks that they're talking to. And it's my understanding that you have a real passion for approaching training, I guess the opposite of my first grade teacher, which was sit down, shut up, give me your milk money. And I'll teach you something.
Well, I do that, but I just do that with my group.
But no, you have some very specific ideas about this business of facilitating learning versus that type of
Absolutely.
Right?
A lot of the training that we do in my group involves us traveling to a market and spending a week with a new store team when we're opening a new store. So we have a week to spend with these folks. And there's a lot of science behind designing a good classroom facilitation, you know, when to involve people, when to have activities, when to take a step back, when to reflect. But what we don't think about enough are those soft skills behind it. It's that engagement. When we go out into the field and we go to a new market, when we go to somebody's hometown, this is their hometown.
Right.
We want to show interest in their town. You know, do a little research ahead of time. Know where you're going. Know what the current events are. You know, I'll tell you, one of the things that I love to do, because you get up in the morning and a lot of times you'll put on CNN or Fox News or something like that while you're getting ready in the morning. If I'm in a new city, I always watch the local news. I want to know what's going on.
Oh, no, see, that's smart. I mean, it makes walking around sense in hindsight when you say it. But it's not, I don't know that I would have thought about that. Going into a city, if I were going to make a talk or do a training, watch the local news.
Exactly. You know what the current events are. What is that town known for? Because a lot of these people have hometown pride. So have some conversation and some talking points that are not necessarily business related. You're not just another corporate person coming in to tell me stuff.
Yeah.
So
what is your favorite part about facilitation? What do you like the best about it?
Oh, wow. The people that I get to meet.
Yeah.
I love the diversity of the people that I get to meet. and spend time with and learn about. I love to learn about the people. I love to train. I love to teach. But
right.
A lot of times I learn more from them, not necessarily about the topic I'm teaching, but about the world as a whole. And just taking their experiences, and they now become a part of my experiences.
But I suspect it's partially because of that approach to life and to learning is why you probably are a very good facilitator. Now, you've been at it a while, so a lot of this comes naturally to you. You probably got a little scar tissue. You probably made some mistakes up there. So we certainly have the benefit that we can all lean on experience, and that's one way to get good at facilitation. But would you recommend, and do you lean on, some sort of methodology, framework for facilitation?
I am what I'm going to call a homegrown trainer.
Okay.
I don't have the L&D background. I came up through our organization as a manager, as a training store manager in the field.
Right.
Everything that I've learned about facilitating has come from mentors that I have within the company and my own research and my own experiences. I'm sort of backfilling with the learning now. I'm learning how I can do all these things I've been doing, but now I can do them better and I can do them easier and I can do them more efficiently. So I can't say that I subscribe to a certain methodology.
Right.
I'm sort of just growing that as I go.
But there may be some wisdom at some point in designing, like, the Thomas method.
There could be.
Right.
That would be great.
Okay, so you're out in the field, mm-hmm. and you're watching some folks. And I know sometimes you probably cringe. Other times you really feel for folks. And you maybe see some patterns, see some mistakes in the less seasoned facilitators that you've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the more common mistakes that we might help some folks avoid if they just are aware of them?
You know, I'll tell you that the biggest mistake I see is it's all about me.
Mm.
Listen to what I'm saying. And it's not because they don't want the learners to be engaged. A lot of times it's the nerves. It's the nervousness, even though it's a topic that you may be certified or licensed in. But once you get up in front of a group of people, it's a whole different story. You know, you get those butterflies.
Sure.
You get the butterflies. And I'll tell you, I still get the butterflies, and I think that if I ever stopped getting the butterflies, I'd have to look for a new field because it's
that's a good point.
That excitement that drives you. It's not that I'm nervous or apprehensive about doing my job. I'm excited to do it, and that's what drives me to do it. And then as you get up there and you start getting into it, everything just starts to flow. And learning how to deal with mistakes, because you mentioned earlier, we make mistakes.
Well, sure.
Own up to it. It almost endears you to your group to know that the trainer's a human being, too. Everybody makes mistakes. There's nothing wrong with a little self-depreciation throughout a training.
And so have you found some situations more challenging than others? Just as an example, I don't know, maybe a participant or two who really tries to monopolize the time, either consciously or unconsciously, they're really have you developed over the years some strategies to deal with those kinds of things?
Absolutely. And like, there are two different types of time monopolizers. There's the ones that really don't mean to do it. They're just passionate about what they know already. And we get that a lot in our field because we'll have people that have been in the optical industry for 30 years. And we start talking optics, and they want to talk about more optics.
They need an outlet, right?
Exactly. And that
outlet
becomes...
spouse doesn't want to hear about it anymore.
Right. And that outlet becomes, all right, come on up.
Right.
You teach for a while. You know, it becomes a partnership. I'm not going to leave them out there on their own. I don't want them to think it's a punishment. But come on up. You share your side of it. Because ultimately, when we leave and that associate is with that store, now they're seen as the expert in that part of the field, too. So even though we're disengaged from the group, they know they've got somebody that knows their stuff too on site in their store. So that's a great way to minimize the disruption of the positive disruption, let's say.
Right.
The negative disruption, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. You know, your inside instincts just want you to, you just want to put them in their place.
Right.
But you know you can't do that because that's not the professional thing to do. But getting them more engaged in the topic at hand can actually minimize some of that extraneous energy that they've got. So get them doing more. Get them doing more and get them to focus a little bit more on the on task.
And for the most part, I suspect most people want the whole thing to go well.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want the facilitator to not do well. And but again, to your original point, it's not about the facilitator.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and I wonder if you see this a lot, because an observation that I have is that the facilitators that seem to do the very best job look like they're not doing much at all. Like, they're pitching up a question and getting out of the way.
You're absolutely correct. We have a mantra, the answer is always in the room. And that works for so many different parts of it. Sometimes you just need a break. Sometimes your voice is starting to go out, and it's time to get them engaged and get them to maybe start teaching a topic or get them to start a conversation. It's a great solution for that. Sometimes you forget. It could be a topic you've been teaching for 9 years, and your brain just goes to mush for some reason. You didn't have enough coffee, whatever. If you get them engaged and have them start doing some of the teaching and have them start doing some of the teach back, the repeat, anything that needs to get done, it's a great way to make sure that they stay involved.
Well, I'm no seasoned trainer or facilitator, but I did pick up in a course one time something that has served me very well. For one reason is it's almost always true, but I've even used it a couple of times when it wasn't true, but I thought it would really help the situation. And it was these 7 words, I don't know, what do you think?
Absolutely. So,
like, I asked a question and then kind of looked to the group and said, I don't know, what do you think?
A twist on that?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Guys, what do you guys think?
and you're really, you're serving the group, even if you do know the answer, which most often I didn't. But it's not so much the tactic or the technique. It goes back to what we were talking about very early in the conversation. It's having... I don't know. It's a different kind of ego. It's having the being comfortable enough in your own skin, not to have to be the showpiece, mm-hmm. and recognize that you really are there to advance the cause of the whole group. Is that
absolutely? There's nothing better than throwing it back to the group when you know the answer, and you see those light bulbs go off, because then they're feeding that answer back to you, and you know you did something well. They're getting it. They're getting it. And like I mentioned earlier, it sets up others in the group to know they have experts in their stores that are going to be with them all the time.
Which is a lot more important than, boy, did we have that smart lady come into town a couple weeks ago.
Right, let's send her an email and let's call her.
Right, that's not what you want.
Which is fantastic. I love to hear from them all the time, but we're a large company. I can't help them all the time by myself.
All right. Before we wrap, is there a place that you go to go get re-inspired or to pick up new information, new tactics, tips on facilitation or anything in your profession for that matter?
I'll tell you my well, it may be a little untraditional. My well is the group of learning specialists that I work with every day. Anytime I need re-energized, if I need new information, if I need to look at something a different way that I've never looked at it before, they're the ones that keep me in check. They're the ones that give me the inspiration. It's the people that I work with. Absolutely.
And if that's the case, you must be thoroughly enjoying hanging out with all of these folks at this conference,
yes.
Right?
I can't.
Are you just soaking it up? Yeah.
To tell you how much I've learned and how wonderful it's been this week.
Well, it's been an absolute delight visiting with you this morning. We'll have to do it again sometime.
It's a plan. Same time next year.
You got it. Now, I want to make sure that our listeners, if they could reach out, are you on, you hang out like at the LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Some of those kinds of communities?
I am. Tina Thomas.
Tina Thomas, National Vision. They can reach out and you can.
Or you can look for me on Twitter. I'm TrainerTT.
TrainerTT.
TrainerTT, yes.
And look for that Thomas method at some point.
That's right. I'm going to get working on that right now.
Well, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production, brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.